Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 228 shopping days left until Christmas, and I believe you know what that means. That means it's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday madness and TV shows and movies and all that good stuff all year round. Hi, my name is Joseph Wade. I will be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight are my co-hosts, Johnny Five, the human robot.
Hey.
What's going on, John?
I don't know. I should have done something interesting, so I have something interesting to talk about here.
I guess so, but I mean, waking up from a nap will have to do. And Mr. Bradford is here as well. Brad?
I'm glad you didn't die, Joe. I'm glad you weren't one of the dyers.
That makes two of us, Brad.
Yeah, because then like I'd have to edit the podcast or something, man.
Yeah, then we'd be, then where the hell would we be? I don't know. It'd be a freak show, that's for sure. But yeah, we haven't spoken in a while. It's been almost 2 months since we've done this thing. And all I can say is I got COVID and whoops-a-doodle.
Boy, are your arms tired.
You ain't kidding. Those were like the two, I'm not going to say they were the two worst weeks of my life, but they were the 2 weeks of my life where I felt the smallest I've ever been. Like I couldn't barely get off the couch before I felt like I had to sit back down on the couch. I went to get the mail one day. I made it to the mailbox, and like two steps back up the driveway, I'd nearly passed out.
Oh goodness.
It was a rough time, and I don't recommend it. But we're not here to talk about all that today. I'm honestly like sick of talking about it. So let's move on and let's get back to business. We haven't talked about a Christmas movie in almost 2 months, and I'm like having a panic attack about it, honestly. Like, I want to get back into the groove so bad.
So here's the fun thing, dear listeners. We had a movie planned before all of this, and Joseph and I watched it 2 months ago, and John watched it tonight. Joe and I did not rewatch it.
Maybe you should have.
Maybe we should have. I actually took notes. I'm one of those weird people who takes notes when he watches movies. I looked back at my notes to try and refresh my memory, and I kid you not. It's like, remember that Seinfeld episode where Jerry writes a joke in the middle of the night and he can't decipher it? It's kind of like that. Like, I'm looking at two pages of, like, flaming globes. Like, I have no idea what this movie is. I think I remember. The movie tonight, we are discussing 2019's Let It Snow. This is a direct-to-Netflix feature film based on a novel co-written by, is it John or Hank Green? One of the Greens.
John Green.
John Green, okay.
Are those the Property Brothers?
I think, maybe.
What?
I mean, they probably own lots of property, but I don't know if they're the Property Brothers.
Oh, no, they're the Vlog Brothers. I was just being stupid, but they actually are the fucking Vlog Brothers. Gross.
Oh, whoops.
These words mean nothing to me.
If you were like 5 years younger, you would know exactly what we're talking about. And even we don't know what we're talking about.
What are the Vlog Brothers?
They're these two brothers that have a channel called Vlog Brothers on YouTube. They started back when you didn't have to have a fucking like actual like premise, you know?
So... Okay, so it's basically the Pauls, but also not the Paul. The Pauls, but not the Pauls, basically.
They're like in their 40s, so...
Oh, God. So they're like the Krasenstein brothers, but they have a blog, huh? Basically?
I mean, and that they're brothers, yeah. Okay, they started doing vlogs on YouTube in 2007. That was back when you didn't have to like have a fucking premise. Like, whenever you hear a podcast that started in like 2006, 2008, it's not about, fucking about anything. They got in on the ground floor where they didn't have to have a fucking premise.
Okay, and they rode that train into the station and they're still popular?
Basically.
Okay.
So, yeah, tonight on the show, we're going to talk about Let It Snow. But the thing is, yeah, Brad and I'm assuming only barely remember what this is about. And Jonathan literally just watched this movie. So
in so much as there is anything to remember, let's put it that way. Let's be honest.
True. But also, I mean, I feel like there's really only one way for me to start to just get my brain back into that headspace. And, you know, let's do it, baby.
There you go. Can check.
This is a Wicked Weed Pernicious India Pale Ale.
Ooh.
I am not an IPA guy by any means, but this is an exceedingly drinkable beer. And that is the douchiest thing I've ever said.
Drinkability. the one adjective that can be applied to pretty much any liquid.
You're not lava.
Lava is drinkable if you're determined enough.
You know, the drinkability of this bleach is a 5, maybe a 6. I don't know.
Quite viscous, I must say.
Brad, Kanchik, what do you have?
I know you got something. I have a Rocket Frog Angry Angry Alice. It is a double IPA.
Ooh. Twice the IPA man that I am. That's great.
Twice the IPA for your money.
Jonathan, do you have anything over there?
I got Kanchik.
Kanchik.
Kanchik. Who you got? Gosh.
This is Lucy. She might have to go down. She's getting a little too squirmy.
Oh, hey, Lucy.
Bye, Lucy. So, Let It Snow. First of all, also, this was Jonathan's pick.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me why?
Because it was on Netflix, and it was recent.
And the fact that it was short had nothing to do with it?
90 minutes is the length of comedy should be.
Okay.
And this is a romantic comedy.
Okay, well, that's actually a good end to talk about this movie. 90 minutes is the length of comedy should be, like you just said. Do you feel like this movie uses those 90 minutes well?
I mean, the worst thing I'll say about this movie is you know how it ends.
Based on my knowledge of The Fault in Our Stars, somebody dies.
No, based on the fact that it's a teen romantic comedy set at Christmas that is trying really hard to be Love Actually, you know how it ends.
Yeah, but all of the things you just said, all of the boxes that you just checked... The next box down has to be somebody dies, right?
Yeah, sure.
Like, so what we're saying is that no, nobody dies in this movie, but that blows my mind.
There's a dying mom alert. What siren you got for that?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, there is that. And that is one of the few cogent notes that I took. I put like 3 alarm emojis and wrote, this character's mom is sick. And so the place we have to start, I guess, there's a metric shit ton of characters in this movie.
Yeah, this movie was originally 3 different stories put in like an anthology book.
But we have 4 here. I think there's what? There's an A plot, a B plot, a C plot, and a D plot.
And a C minus plot.
I mean, they're all D minus plots in my opinion, but...
Well, but there's 3 primary plots, but then there's like little secondary runners that kind of... course throughout the film.
All right,
the strange thing is one of the books in the book is the secondary plot. Like one of the main plots is basically created from whole cloth.
So we got, I don't remember a single character's name if you put a gun to my head. A plot is we have the girl who's got accepted into her dream college, but her mom is dying and she meets a famous singer and
played by Spider-Man.
Played by Spider-Man. Yeah,
all right, let's okay. So you're talking about the character's name is Julie. She's played by Isabella Merced, who was Dora the Explorer. The famous singer is Stuart, played by Shameik Moore, Spider-Man.
Wait, Morales. Was she the voice of Dora the Explorer, or she did the live-action
one? No, she did the live-action movie.
Okay. Go on. And the voice of Miles Morales.
Yes. Then... They end up meeting on a train and they have their story. One of the other competing stories are this couple of total friends who aren't totally going to end up making out at the end.
Oh, right. Yeah, I totally forgot about this one.
Tobin and Angie. Angie, a.k.a. the Duke, is Kieran Shipka, who is Sabrina, the teenage witch.
Yes, I remember that now.
And Mitchell Hope, what the fuck has he been in? What the fuck is The Descendants? Because he's apparently King Ben in The Descendants.
I thought it was like a Disney version of that Alexander Payne movie, but apparently it's not. It's like a Disney Channel movie about like the children of a bunch of Disney villains.
Yeah.
And they made like two or three sequels to it for some reason.
So basically, this is the teen movie version of Smash Brothers. Everyone is here.
Yeah,
this is Netflix Smash Brothers.
And then a third side story is Addie and Dory's friendship, and Addie is played by Odea Rush,
she's the one who's worried about her boyfriend or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
She was in like Lady Bird and some shit like that. And then Liv Hewson is Dory, who
has her own plot about the cheerleader. Yeah.
I remember this. Yes. Dory. Okay, so Dory is working at like an off-brand Waffle House.
Yeah,
that's missing the W, so they call it the Waffle Hut.
Of course. And she has a major crush on a cheerleader named, remind me.
Oh, she doesn't even have a crush. They like.
She's in Carrie. Yeah. Well, Anna Akana from YouTube.
Yeah, who, if you look up her IMDb page, it lists her as a. She's credited as a writer on Ant-Man, but if you look down, no, she's not a writer on Ant-Man. She plays a writer in Ant-Man. Which is a little
important
bit
important distinction.
Yes, I was very impressed for a brief moment. I mean, I'm still impressed. Yeah. She was an Ant-Man.
I think what we're getting at here is a lot of these people are like, oh yeah, I've seen them in other Netflix thing, or yeah, I've seen them in other thing. Like, right. It's a lot of
this is the teen drama who's who of Christmas movies.
And then Joan Cusack is there.
And then we got the other plot is the fella who's trying to make it big as a DJ.
Yes.
Right. It's what's
Keon,
his name?
Played by Jacob Batalon,
aka Keon. The best subplot in the movie,
who is Ned from the MCU Spider-Man shit.
Yes, so we got lots of Spider-Man connections going on here. This is like this is where the whole Marvel multiverse like intersects, is in this movie. You don't actually find that out if you watch the MCU, but if you branch out, it's there. If you really want to look for it.
So like I said, this really is like a Love Actually for teens thing, because you have Julie, who's trying to like figure out how to deal with her mom stuff, and then she runs into Stuart, who's just trying to figure out himself, basically.
Yeah.
Addie and Dory are friends. Addie is kind of ruining the friendship a little bit by being absolutely obsessed with what her boyfriend is doing at all hours. He's a shitty boyfriend, let's get that straight, but like she's also completely obsessed with like, why haven't you I've texted you 30 times in the past 5 minutes, why have you not texted me back?
And as I remember, as it turns out, he's basically in the process of ghosting her and she hasn't figured it out yet.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And all of these plots intersect at the off-brand Waffle House because they got to go somewhere.
Yes.
You got to go somewhere. Actually, that's a plot point, is that the train that Spider-Man and Dora the Explorer are on, like, breaks down or just plain stops.
It sounds like you're describing one of those off-brand YouTube videos.
Yeah, then
so Pink Spider-Man
Joker also comes up.
Yeah,
Pink Spider-Man, Blue Dora's stopped train 2019.
Oh.
The train stops, and it conveniently stops like right in front of this awful Waffle House. So they go there, and he's like constantly obsessed with not being noticed by quote unquote fans. So of course she helps him out and does all of the, you know, runs interference because she doesn't give a shit who he is. And he thinks that's attractive.
She's like the one person in this movie who doesn't give a shit who he is.
Exactly.
Oh, what's her face from The Good Place shows up too. She's his manager.
Yes.
Darcy Carden, aka
oh,
Janet.
Yeah.
From The Good Place, a.k.a. the one actor in this entire movie that I actually know the name of and another thing they're in.
You didn't know Joan Cusack?
Wait, what? Oh, is she the tinfoil lady?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't name a thing she's in, and I couldn't name her name on site, so no.
Well, that answers that.
I'm not exaggerating when I say that she's the only person that I know in this movie.
No, I believe it. Brad is a huge Good Place fan. If there's two things I know about Brad, it's that A, he's a huge Good Place fan, and B, he is very bad with celebrity names.
Yes.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
Let It Snow, Klaus, Arthur Christmas, welcome, Joan Cusack.
Oh,
the Triple Threat Club. Oh my god. I didn't even think about that.
Dang.
That's amazing.
Congratulations.
Congrats. Please accept this award in the form of a half-eaten bag of Doritos and also three copies of Christmas Vacation 2 on DVD.
Hey, you guys want to hear a topical joke? We should have saved it to the end and built up to it and then not given it to him.
Okay.
It's an Oscar joke. Don't worry about it.
Oh.
Anyhow.
Here's
Brad
a fun thing.
Remembered the Oscars. That's impressive.
If we watch the other Muppet Christmas movie, the one that nobody actually cares about, we can get her on the Formula One list. Cool.
Which one is that?
It's a Very Merry Muppet Christmas movie.
Wait.
You know, that's the one.
There's three Muppet Christmas movies then.
Oh, God.
There's a Muppet Family Christmas. Muppet Family Christmas, Muppet Christmas Carol, and then whatever the hell you just said. Right?
But wait, isn't there a fourth one, though? If we're going to also count Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas?
Yeah, but we already did that one.
So, okay.
So
all right,
it's dead to us. No, I'm just kidding.
It no longer exists. We have like zero object permanence for Christmas movies. Once we've done it, it's gone. It has left the known universe as far as we're concerned. Except when it comes to the matter of the Triple Threat Club.
Yes. So where were we?
We were congratulating Joan Cusack on her induction into the Triple Threat Club.
Mm. Okay, here's the biggest problem. Because this movie is like a Love Actually thing where there's three plots that keep weaving in and out. It's kind of hard to keep track of them all at once because they, in fact, do keep weaving in and out.
But also, like, just by the virtue of the fact that we've told you the character names and who they are and what they're doing together, we have basically told you the plot.
Because yes. You know how all of these end.
Yeah, there are no surprises.
Yeah, Julie is trying to decide whether she needs to stay with her sick mom or go to Columbia, which she's been accepted to. Stuart helps her decide that she needs to, like, follow her dreams and shit. Mm-hmm. Actually, he tells her to talk to her mom, and her mom says, "What the fuck? Go to Columbia, dumbass."
Yeah, really.
Dory ends up finally going up to the cheerleader and being like, "Hey, yo, are we gonna do more makeouts or what? Like, what the fuck?" And so they do more makeouts because
the whole cheerleading squad is super into it.
Yeah, because she was not out to anybody yet, but then after a while, everyone remembered it was 2019, and who cares?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And then Addie realizes that maybe she should, the speech Dory gives her is maybe you should stop giving a shit about so much about people that obviously don't give a shit about you. Like if he's going to,
he does that. She spends a lot of time with the tinfoil lady.
Yeah. Dory is the one who like gives her like the whole, like, this is all the things that you suck about. Like these are why you suck speech, you know? and it's not the thing is she's not wrong. It's like, man, if he's going to ghost you, like, obviously just saying, all right, well, fucking have a nice life, dude, bye. Is Kiwa gonna give you to your son, by the way? and then the reason everybody ends up at Waffle House because another character, Keon, was trying to have a party to impress a DJ. He ended up having a cat jump on his desk and then run across and jump down. What the fuck? His parents came back, ruined the party. He ended up going back to work with Billy, who was the best character in the movie.
Now, explain Billy real quick.
When you said Billy, like, I could not remember who it is, but now I know through context. Go on, explain Billy.
Billy is the son of Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins.
That does not explain Billy. That's an actor.
In the movie.
No, in the movie he is.
Oh, okay.
It's canon.
It's canon now.
Billy is the manager, I guess is the best way to put it, at Waffle Town, and the movie doesn't show anybody doing a shitload of drugs, but Billy does a shitload of drugs.
He's basically a Kevin Smith character.
Yeah.
Who's fallen into this film.
He doesn't care what happens at the Awful Hut, and apparently nobody else does. And there's only, like, if we don't count Keon's parents, I think the tinfoil lady is the only adult in the entire movie.
Yeah, okay.
It's
that's
like a weird
thing.
Peanuts situation.
Julie's mom and grandpa.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
they
that's
have
another
the big
thing,
talk
though.
About musicians. I forgot about that.
Is that this film is largely devoid of adults because I think all the adults are off doing something else.
Yeah.
Drugs.
While the kids They're all having a drug party without their children on Christmas Eve.
We're gonna smoke drugs.
That's the other thing we haven't even talked about yet, is all of this happens on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Which is why we're talking about the movie in the first place. But also,
I guess there's a bunch of adults in the church during the Eve pageant or whatever. Well, okay, yeah. There's adults in this movie, but they're not really characters.
No,
they're
not really.
Yeah, they're props. All of them are props, except for the weird grandpa who is obsessed with the Rolling Stones. That's a cool character, and I like him, and I want to see more films with him in it. But
I want to meet that grandpa.
But yeah, it's like all these kids are basically left to their devices on Christmas Eve, and they all congregate at the Waffle House,
which is open on Christmas Eve.
Which is open on Christmas Eve because everybody's parents are conspicuously absent.
Yeah, it's very weird. Like, this tries to play simultaneously. This town is like a middle of nowhere ass town. I think the zip code they give is actually Decatur, but also it's totally like still a real town that people would live in too.
Wait, Decatur? Like,
yeah,
Georgia?
No, like Illinois.
Oh, I was like about to say there's way too much snow for Georgia. Geography, everybody. Hey. It's what I got my degree in, and yet here we are.
Yeah, it's a weird like small town that only exists in movies like this, because it's like, oh, people are shopping on Main Street and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Man, those are the good old days when Main Street still existed.
Yeah,
but
now everyone just goes and is not allowed to pee at the Amazon warehouse.
there's another big sequence that I feel like we need to address where. So, like, Tobin and Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, the weird thing is their story is the most, like, predictable of, like, oh, the best friends since, since kindergarten? Yeah, they're secretly in love with each other and neither one knows to admit it. So that's what's going to happen. They're going to go kiss on a roof.
And it's the twee indie plot for the twee indie folks.
Well, yeah, but also I was going to say, like, it's the plot that acts most like a movie.
Yeah.
Because there's the scene where Tobin has to go up against her actual crush, who's like this weird dumbass college jock guy. And then they have a car chase with a couple of hillbillies because they steal their beer.
To take to the DJ party at the Awful House.
Right. See, it all kind of gels together. But in the middle of this.
Does it though? Does it?
It gels together in the sense that, like, if you put any 10 ingredients into a pan, you're going to have something.
Okay.
But in the middle of all this, they like hide out in a church. And this is one of the notes I wrote in all caps. Can you just wander into a church in the middle of the day?
A lot of churches aren't locked, my dude. From my time in Boy Scouts, I will tell you, a lot of churches, not locked.
I mean, from my time watching movies, yeah, just go find a Catholic church and you just go in and just sit in a pew in the back, and then like you're the other guy who's the rival assassin who's been like you're playing cat and mouse with, he'll show up and sit in the pew behind you.
Fair, okay. That's never happened to me, but then again, I never went to church any time that wasn't Sunday morning. So
that's why you're
missing out. I don't know these things, clearly. But anyway, so like I remember this while they're hiding out in the church. Tobin gets roped into like a church play, and it's like a weird non-denominational holiday pageant.
That's confusing me. Those are two completely separate churches. That's the weird thing.
Is it really?
Yeah, because we see later a scene when they're doing like the big montage, when it's the big like second act montage of like, oh, everyone's having problems. It cuts back to Duke and her college friend JP, who are just chatting, you know.
Yeah.
While Tobin stomped off and then go sat in the car. So it's like, where did he get this robe from to be the wise man? Because the play is going on and Julie and Stuart and their family are watching the play and Duke and JP are nowhere around.
That's another weird thing too, because like this is a scene where like all these adults just show up and then they disappear again.
Yeah.
Like it's just plot fodder adults? I don't know.
So like I said, all of the stuff is pretty predictable where it's going. Like, yeah, the Duke, aka Angie, and Tobin end up being like, hey, don't we love each other? Yeah, we do. Let's make it on the roof. And then Dory tells the cheerleader, like, yo, let's just do makeouts because it sucks not doing makeouts.
Let's make out on the roof.
No, they make out in the
out in the parking lot.
No, yes. I know. I'm just trying to get everybody to make out on the roof.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, what, this is Empire Records?
Yes.
Hey, and then
if you want to hear me and John yell about Empire Records, we did it for like 2 straight hours on my other podcast.
That's called brand synergy right there.
That's brand synergy, baby.
And then Addy ends up just because we have two loose ends to tie up, Addy and JP really hit it off.
Mm-hmm. But also in between, Addy decides to apologize to Dory for her shitty behavior by buying her a baby pig.
Yes. The pig thing is a weird, I'm not really sure. It's a thing from the book. I know that because one of the little segments in the book is called The Painter's Day of Pigs.
Okay.
So the pig thing is totally from the book, and it doesn't make too much more sense in the movie because the thing that is completely added in for the movie that wasn't in the book is everything with Dory and the cheerleader.
Okay.
Because the three stories in there are Julie is instead Jubilee. Stuart is just a guy she meets. Jeb shows up in that story, and then Jeb is also Addie's boyfriend in the third story. Then the Tobin and Duke story is more or less intact, except instead of the DJ, it's there's a bunch of cheerleaders that are hanging out at the Waffle House for some reason and want to play Twister.
Wow.
Okay.
So Tobin and JP are like, yeah, let's go play Twister with cheerleaders because that's totally the coolest idea ever. And then convince Duke to be like, okay, I'll go get some food, I guess.
Okay.
And yeah.
I guess, ladies and gentlemen, Jonathan, I think Jonathan actually read the book
I'm reading a summary of it right now, and it's it's weird just because so many things are just changed for no real reason. Because it's like in the book, it's like, oh no, Duke is the one that like breaks first and is like, hey, I love you to like Tobin. Rather than in the movie is all about Tobin trying to figure out the right moment to spring it on her, you know?
Right.
It's just, yeah, it's like, how to put it? It's uncanny just how like alike it is while still being completely fucking different.
It probably got a treatment by committee at Netflix, I imagine, before it was greenlit.
You know what it sounds like happened? It sounds like when John Green wrote it, he wrote it with the mindset of, what would a movie do? Okay, let's not do that. And yeah, then when they made segment. It a movie, they just reversed every single one of those decisions because it's a movie.
Yeah, let's see. What segment was his? Yeah, he wrote the Tobin and Duke one. He wrote Cheertastic Christmas Miracle. Yeah.
Okay, that tracks to me, yeah. That one makes the most sense to me because it feels like the biggest part of the movie. The most movie-like of the movie. And everything else kind of feels like, well, we got to put other characters in this thing. How do we do that? Oh, character A loves character B. Can't say it yet. Okay, now they can say it.
Yeah, let's see. Who are the credited writers on this, on the screenplay? Laura Solon, Victoria Strauss, Kay Cannon. None of those names ring a bell. Let's see. One of them was the writer of Office Christmas Party. There's that.
Oh, boy.
Remember that? Oh, dear.
I try not to.
Another one wrote Finding Dory.
Huh. Oh, she's in this movie.
Oh, there you go. And then the other one is did a lot of stuff with Pitch Perfect and also wrote that Blockers movie, which is apparently somehow actually a pretty good fucking movie.
Blockers?
It's the teen sex comedy where like the comedy is, oh, these girls want to go and get fucking railed super hard at prom. And the parents are super worried about that.
Oh, okay.
It is specifically supposed to be like a gender swapped teen sex comedy is what it's going for.
I see.
I remember it as the movie where John Cena butt chugs an entire beer.
Yes.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say about any of this because like they're all clearly competent credited writers.
They have pedigrees, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not saying that any of what happens in the film is wrong or bad or poorly constructed. It's just
formulaic.
It's a 90-minute movie with 600 plots, so of course everything's going to get flattened out as much as you can flatten it.
Let's be very obvious and call a spade a spade and say, this is not for us.
Oh, no, not really.
1,000,000%. We are all 15 years too old to be watching this movie.
I mean, this is basically Love Actually for teens, and Joan Cusack is there too.
Yeah. Joan Cusack I'm trying to think of who would the Joan Cusack character be in Love Actually.
Who does the Love Actually's all around us speech in Love Actually? Because that's who she is.
Oh, is that Bill Nighy, the singer, the musician guy?
I don't remember, honestly, because that's another thing we've watched like 9 billion years ago.
Bill Nighy's character is the rock star who like performs the Love Is All Around Us song in the movie. I just assume that's him.
Here, let me find the
course. You know what? This is going nowhere. Let's move on. I don't know what to move on to, though, honestly. Like, we've basically done it. This is a very open and shut case for a movie for us.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't know if that reflects poorly on us because okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is the problem with this movie. It's like, well, it was competently put together. We're not quite the right audience for it, but it still doesn't it's not like it doesn't work, you know? It's like, yeah. It's a fucking like warm, cuddly like blanket of a movie where it's just like you feel good about it because everybody ends up a little happier at the end, basically, and most people learn something about themselves in the process.
That sure is a movie.
If I had to pick one word to describe this movie, the word would be content. This is content.
Post content.
And just for a play on words, also content. Like this movie just makes you feel like, yeah, that was a couple of notches higher than decent.
John?
What?
Wow. I think you enjoyed this movie more than I thought you would. Maybe you're just in a much better mood than usual.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like this movie is kind of just a power fantasy in a way where it's like, no, things actually do work out. Like you tell your friend, like, hey, I actually want to bone you. And your friend's like, cool, me too. Why didn't we do this earlier?
All right.
You know, and you tell your, like, weird closeted, like, girl you made out with once, like, hey, why don't you stop being fucking closeted? And she's just like, yeah, why am I closeted? That's fucked up. Yeah.
Okay.
Like everything works out, like, against odds as well. Like, especially with the two guys that have been chasing them around all movie because they stole the cake from their party. When they finally catch up to him, they're just kind of like, dude, that was fucking metal. Let's hang out.
Yeah, because they wind up at a party and are suddenly just like, oh, hey, we're at a party. This is awesome.
Another party. All right.
Oh, yeah, boy. Like, everything just works out in such a stupid, happy way that it's just like, the movie's infectious, basically.
Okay. All right. I like that you like it. Let's put it that way.
When I say decent, I don't necessarily mean like quality of it. It's just like, yeah, that gave me a slightly fuzzy feeling type of thing. You know, it's like this movie wasn't like totally, it didn't lean too hard into saccharin, I guess. It managed to like, I don't know. It manages to be just twee enough without even getting in the fucking soundtrack.
Well,
that's a whole other story.
We don't need to talk about that because, frankly, that's one thing that I did completely forget. I have no comments, nothing to say about the soundtrack.
I'd say for the soundtrack, this is kind of in like Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist territory, where for a specific audience, it's like, holy shit, it's that song. Holy shit, it's that song. And I'm not that audience.
Yeah, that's fair.
I thought it was okay. I thought the soundtrack was. I think I made a note about it. I thought it was all right.
All I do remember is that Shameik Moore does perform one of the songs in the film, like himself. Like the character who plays the singer actually sings a song in the film. Okay. And that's perfectly fine. That's good with me.
Wow.
But also, I guess my last comment here is going to be that, like, if anything, I can say that this movie makes me nostalgic for a time in my life when I would have thought this was like the most important movie ever. Like I can imagine being like 14 or 15 and thinking this is a deep movie. And not that it is or it pretends to be, because it's not, but
when you're a teenager, anything can seem deep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like I can picture being 14 years old and thinking this spoke to me. So, you know what? I'm fine with it. This is a very like open and shut case for us, I think, and that surprises me.
It was fine. Okay. Yeah. Open and shut. You're right. Should we go to the crankometer?
Let's do it. I mean, there's nothing we have to say. Like, we can't take this to Santa's workshop. We can't like hammer this into some other kind of form. It's just,
and we're not angry about it either. So we can't do a screed about it. It's fine.
The worst thing I can say about the movie is just what I've been saying about it all along. It's Love Actually for kids.
Yeah. And you know, that's fine. A movie can just be that and it's okay. So yeah, let's go to the crankometer where we have to rate these films. The crankometer, if you're just joining us, where have you been? A crankometer is an XY axis that we use to rate Christmas movies on two separate scales. The X axis is the Christmas quotient, how Christmassy the film is, and the Y axis is how good the film is, the quality quotient. So, gentle friends, let it snow. How Christmassy is this film? That's the one thing we haven't really touched on yet, is a lot of the Christmas stuff.
It doesn't need to be Christmas.
It's all right. It's not very Christmassy. It doesn't need to be Christmas. John put it best. This could have happened on Arbor Day, I guess.
Zero.
Like Flag Day. You can find true love on Flag Day.
Maybe a one. I mean, there's like, they try to tie it in.
The set dressings they use are very, very nice. Joan Cusack's speech seems a little forced, but it does kind of, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess the reason that everybody's in town and everybody's together is because it's the holidays. So, yeah, that's fair. I think a one is fine.
Yeah.
Perfect. So I think the more interesting variable, though, is the y-axis. How good is Let It Snow, really?
I would be comfortable giving it a one, maybe a two.
That seems low considering everything you just said.
I mean, it's absolute fucking fluff of a movie. It was fine while I was watching it. I didn't really get too much of a reaction over it out of it, other than just like, oh, I'm happy that they didn't do something stupid to this fucking plot. Like,
okay, yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say that that's the reaction to it. It's just satisfied that the thing that you want, that you like, want to happen in a dumb way happens. Like, oh, good, the two people, those two got together, good. I'm happy that happened rather than some other bullshit, because it's a fucking Fault in Our Stars-ass movie.
Okay. I just say I'm more amused by anything than how positive John is about this movie?
I think what we're experiencing tonight is just we're all so happy to be back in the saddle doing this.
I guess, man. I don't know. I didn't enjoy this while watching it.
You did not?
I mean,
it was fine. I didn't hate it. I would be like, I'm true carbon neutral on this. It does nothing for me. Yeah, I'd give it like a zero.
This movie has not really, even now it's already slipping away from me. It was pure cotton candy of a movie, basically. Just fluffy and nice and then kind of forgettable at the end. But while you're watching it, it's just like I'm happy there's not shitty twists.
I guess.
I think where I fall on this is I'm okay with it. It's fine, but I will not make any bones about the fact that it rises above the level of okay. Like it does not approach, you know, good. It's just okay.
God, no.
You didn't notice how much I've been damning this by faint praise. I've been calling it things like competent, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I mean, in our line of work, with the movies we watch, that's still something. It's still something.
It's no Santa and the Ice Cream Buddy, I can tell you that.
Yeah. No kids fall off a fucking roof or whatever the hell happens in that movie.
Maybe 1-1. I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not for us, but it's fine.
It's not for us and it's fine. I think a 1-1 is perfectly serviceable.
Yeah. I'd be happy with that. Like I said, it doesn't really stick with you. While I was watching it, a lot of it was just like pleasant surprise that it wasn't completely terrible. And also that like, Oh, like what you kind of hope it happened in a very dumb, shallow way happens.
this is the bare minimum of what we consider positivity.
Yeah, it's okay that they made Santa Claus 2 for dogs. That's allowed to happen.
Yeah, really. I mean, good lord.
No, go on. Sorry.
I just say it's kind of what I've been saying about a lot of movies here. Just like, if you want to see shitty stuff, like, I got some outside for you.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
So that's why I'm absolutely happy to give this movie props for being wish fulfillment.
Sure. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Because sometimes you fucking need it.
Fair enough.
Hey, yeah, take it where you can get it. Really. Or yeah, I'm misspeaking a lot tonight.
Smoke them while you got them.
Smoke them while you got them, you know, bottoms up, chug a lug, let's get it done. Joseph Wade, 2021.
Put that on your tombstone. God, oh, what a power move. If I hope you live forever, Joe, but if for some reason I can get out in front of your family and put that on your tombstone. Smoke them while you got them. Chug-a-lug, Joseph Wade, 2021. No matter what year you die in, just, oh.
The last thing I will say about COVID-19, I think it really turned my brain into mush a little bit. Like, I just, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I've heard that happens.
There was a day where I woke up and there was like a serious like ringing in my ears and I didn't know what was going on. So I went and I Googled it, like ringing in ears, COVID. And sure enough, like there's like a dozen news stories, like New York Times, Washington Post saying like some COVID patients say they have ringing in their ears. Like, oh, fuck. Great.
Well, at least you didn't hit on the first story being the guy that committed suicide because of the COVID tinnitus. So could have been worse.
Well, oof. This is true. And for my part, as soon as I got better, it went away. So there's that.
Oh, that's good.
So if anybody listening out there, you heard it you heard it here first.
I have my second shot next week, and I just plan on just being in a Dayquil haze that entire weekend, probably.
Oh, I've got mine tomorrow, bud, and let me tell you, it's going to be a time.
I've had mine, and all I can say is when the shot symptoms, side effects hit me, it was like I was back in COVID land, baby.
Whew.
I woke up that morning. I was like, oh, welcome back. I know what this is like.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Precisely.
I'm going to take a bunch of Dayquil and Red Bull and watch Final Fantasy XIV FanFest.
Oh, boy.
What is that? Is that like their big direct or something?
It is. Yeah, it's basically their big like announcement thing for the next expansion and all of that shit.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Because everything has to be exactly on the nose, like the special in-game item they're giving away there is a rideable whale. Brad gets it. And
wonderful.
You know what? I got an extra refund back from the government that's enough to buy me and Karen the fucking whale, so let's go.
I love
nice.
It.
Nice.
That's hilarious. That sounds awesome.
Can I just point out, it has been roughly... we're coming up on the 50-minute mark, and this is the first Jonathan has mentioned Final Fantasy on this podcast.
I was going to mention it beforehand, but I think everyone knows that's what I was doing before I logged in. on the Discord. Like, what the hell else are we doing with my time?
But I appreciate the restraint, is all I'm saying. a +1 on the crankometer. That's where Let It Snow lands.
It's all right if you got a teen in your life.
It's fine.
I don't know. Maybe let them choose. Maybe they'll choose something better. But if they put this on, whatever.
If guys or girls, not going to discriminate, if your significant other says we should watch this, it's fine. You won't hate it, hopefully.
It's going to be okay. It'll be over in 90 minutes.
And incidentally, I asked my girlfriend, Nikki, who her favorite character was in this film, because there's lots to pick from. And this is the last note I wrote. She said, quote, "My favorite character was the Christmas pig."
It's a pretty good pig.
And I think that's about as good a review of that film as we could have done in an hour. She just nailed it in one sentence.
I'll still stick with Billy. He just exists. Like he was never born. He always was.
I do appreciate the fact that Billy is just kind of there as he it doesn't really interact with any plot except for maybe he just lubricates all of the other plots where he's just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, like he
you can have a rave at the Waffle House. Sure, bring all the beer in. I don't care.
Yeah. The only characters he interacts with besides Keon are when he goes up on the roof and he has like two lines to the other characters. Otherwise, he only ever talks to the other Waffle Town workers.
Yeah. It's he's a force of nature within the movie, and I appreciate it.
Yes. He is truly an agent of chaos. My last note that I would like to point out is that Keon's stage name, or is it Keon or is it the DJ that he's trying to attract? The DJ name is DJ K-Star Pow Money.
That's him, because the DJ is like,
but he stylizes it DJ K**POW$.
Yes, you think it'd be just DJ Kapow, but no, it's DJ K-Star Pow Money. I like that joke. That's pretty good.
This is going to be a weird poll, but, you know, don't judge me. There was a Kesha video a long time ago where she plays laser tag with James Vanderbeek. And he refers to her in that video as K$Ha. Because at that time, she wrote her name with a dollar sign. And I always thought that was funny because I'm an idiot. Anyway, so that's Christmas Creeps, everybody, for... We didn't even talk about when we were doing this episode. We're in the middle of May now, folks. You're in the heart of barbecue season, baby.
Mm.
So it's springtime here in the U.S. You got to get outside, get your grilling on, and cook up some good meats, have some good beers. Enjoy the spring and summer air, because good Lord, it's been a long time since we've been able to do that.
First, go get your fucking shots. Then you can do all that shit. If you don't get your shots, get back in the fucking side, Morlock.
I mean, you could do it by yourself.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want to in your own backyard.
There's no barbecue like a one-man barbecue. Come on. Actually, it's pretty pathetic, but still.
Ain't no party like a one-man party because I get all the fucking meats.
I will give one caveat here. Pursuant to local laws, you can do whatever you want in your own backyard.
Well, that's if true. You live in the state of Florida, that's game on, baby.
I will not be held legally liable for anything you do.
I don't know if we want to call a shot for our next episode, but I'm kind of excited to like do another one like right away. I want to do it before we relapse and have 2 months off again.
Put me in, coach. I'm Reggie Toupee.
So until then, if you want to yell at us on the internet, you can do that a number of different ways. You can tweet at us at Christmas Creeps. Go to facebook.com/Christmas Creeps and talk to us on there. Email us anything at xmascreeps@gmail.com. And I think that's it. You know what to do. Like and subscribe, all that fun stuff. Is there anything I'm forgetting before we go?
Yeah, if you're on the Primal Data Center, sign up for normal raid roulette so I can get these fucking Omega raids done.
What? Was that was that English? What just came out of your mouth?
Jonathan just peered into his alphabet soup and spoke everything that he just read.
Hey, the cool kids know.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, my God. This has been Christmas Creeps. Good night.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go,
Let's itch now.
It doesn't show signs of stopping. And I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low.
Let's itch now! Let's itch now! Let's itch now!